Today's episode of TMS is brought to you by Harry's, for guys like you who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now. Go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code MORNINGSTREAM when you check out. That's harrys.com. Coming up on TMS, that time you peed on that guy.
Minions made all the money.
Letterman comes out of hiding.
Whedon is dialing it down a little.
Aw. Lots of things happened at the Star Wars panel.
Major spoilers.
Oh, that's going to be good. V for video games.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hi. You hungry? Looking for a tempting treat? Hold on till I absorb some heat. Some added tang might please you too. I'll slide into an oven-fresh bun, and I'm ready for your eating fun.
Why don't you try a juicy, good hot dog? Delicious.
The day of miracles has come!
The Morning Stream. You have chosen poorly.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. That's right. Write it down. Keep a note. Come on back now, you hear? I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Hi, Scott.
How are you doing, man?
Happy Monday to you.
Well, we'll see. You know, I don't know. It's a little early yet to tell if Monday's going to...
I'm not asking you.
You're telling me.
If Monday's good. I'm wishing you. Oh. I'm saying, have a happy Monday.
I'm not asking you to have a good day. I am telling you to have
That's
one.
That's right. I'm ordering you That's to fine. Have a happy Monday.
I'd be happy to have one. It'd be great if we could. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's good to be here. It's Monday, July 13th, 2015. I'm almost a year older. I don't like that feeling.
That's right. This weekend, right? Friday?
Yeah. Is it? So when's the 17th? Friday?
Friday.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Time is blowing by my
Keeps
life.
Keeps on slipping.
This is the truth. And we've got the Monday lineup today. We have a regular full show or weeks of show. Show of weeks. Week of shows. A week showing is what I'm trying to say.
We show how weak we are.
Yes. We have a very precious little time until Nerdtacular, probably 2.5 weeks or something. Is that right? Yeah.
Whatever. I don't want to know.
I don't want to think about it. I mean, not that we're not. We're obviously very excited. We're stoked to see everybody. Sure. We just have a lot to do. So things are going to be a little precarious for a little bit here. But all very excited.
We need to figure out teams, too, for All-Stars. We know quite a few people who are anxious to play, and we need to round out those teams. So you and I will talk later about the business.
Can't wait to find out how that goes. Mm-hmm. So I got to tell you a funny story. It's not my story. I wish it was, because I would have loved to experience this firsthand. But you know how I feel about New Orleans, right? Not a fan of that town. It's kind of gross. You're in the 1 second you're in the nice sort of touristy part where you're like, jazz and beignets and
Bourbon Street and the French Quarter and all that.
Yeah, yep. You're like, woo, this is great, American landmark. And then you walk 5 feet in any direction, you're like, oh. Shittiest alley I've ever seen. 3 dead people.
That I'm gonna die. Gun.
We're all dying here. It's just, whatever. I have this relationship with New Orleans. That's about 20 something years old, and I've never had a good time when I've been there. So there's that. Now understand, anyone who lives there, hey, whatever. More power to you. Anyone who enjoys it there, good job. I'm glad you found your a good time. But I just don't like being in the city. Lots of parts of Louisiana I quite enjoy, but I was not a fan of New Orleans. So there's all that, right? Mm-hmm. Here's an emblematic example of what can go down while you're in New Orleans. My friend Andrew and his wife Annie were over hanging out over the weekend.
Andy and Annie?
Andrew and Annie. Yeah.
Or Andrew and Annie.
Yeah, you can call him Andrew, you can call him Drew.
But not Andy.
But Andy, he'll punch you in the face if you say
Are
that.
They raggedy?
They're not raggedy at all, but you make a decent point. His birth name was James, but he changed his middle name's Andrew. He changed it to Andrew because he hated the name James. So,
gotcha.
So there's that. And they've known each other since high school, so it wasn't even like a happy coincidence later in life. We're like, you're like Andy. You're like Andy and I'm Andy. So anyway, they were hanging out. We've known these guys since like 95 or something. And we used to go to Vegas together all the time and just used to be kind of that, you know, the couple you always do stuff with, like your weird neighbors in a way.
Weird neighbors like that. Couple, yes, exactly.
So that's kind of what they were like. And we still see them quite a bit. And they're over this weekend and we were talking about stuff. And for whatever reason, a story came up about them going to New Orleans. And, you know, the conversation started innocently enough, and it was a little bit of me going, oh, yeah, that town, blah, everyone's on drugs, and blah, whatever, me being all negative about it.
Right.
And she says, oh, well, did we not tell you the story? And I said, well, tell me the story. So back when she was maybe, they didn't know this, but they were pregnant with their fourth kid, but they didn't know it at the time. They were in New Orleans, and everything smelled, like, if you're in New Orleans, like, the good smells are overwhelmingly good, right?
Yeah, the etouffee and the...
oh, my gosh. Just shrimp, the, everything.
The hurricanes, the drinks, the... I mean, the food is just fantastic. Got the crawfish, gumbo.
Yeah, it's amazing. The food is incredible down there. So I'll give you guys that. You got that going. And thankfully, my wife has a lot of those recipes, so it's all good up here.
So you don't need to go there for it?
No. I can get
the... So the smells, yeah, when the smells are good, they're really good.
They're really good. But if you're pregnant... or just starting to feel pregnant, those smells can be overwhelming.
Sure.
To the point that you are going to be yakking the entire time. And like, it's going to just make you feel sick. And so Annie, I guess, their entire time in New Orleans, and they're walking around some of these areas I'm talking about, she's feeling very, very ill because she didn't know why. She just thought she was feeling sick. And her sister who's there says, and Andrew and everybody else are there. And she says, why don't we just run into one of these stores, like some kind of corner, like drugstore? Let's get a pregnancy test and check it because I think you're pregnant. And she's like, I don't think I'm pregnant. Bah, whatever. They're having this argument about whether she's pregnant or not. So she finally consents to do it. She says, fine, but I'm not using the bathroom in that place. It's a nightmare. She went and peeked in there and it was like horrible. She goes, I'm not going in there to do this. We need to go find a place where I can do this. So they find an alleyway. And here's where things get really weird. And this just, to me, this says everything you need to know about New Orleans. So they find an alley and they all kind of stay out in the front of it and guard it so that nobody's going to come see her peeing on a stick.
Sure.
She goes down the alley, which I admit is a little weird in the first place that you're going to pee on a stick in an alleyway. Okay.
Yeah. So sure they had a hotel room somewhere, right?
Surely.
I
mean. Yeah. So she goes down there and... She goes down to the end of this alleyway, and it's kind of gross and whatever, but she figures, you know, whatever. There's a lot worse things in here than pee. So she's going to go squat down, and her husband's there. Andrew's there, standing, you know, kind of guard next to her. And she's squatting down, and she's holding this stick to pee on it. And as she's peeing on it, she looks down, and she is peeing on what she thinks is just a pile of trash.
Oh, no.
But suddenly...
Oh, no.
Eyeballs open and look at her. Like, suddenly they blink to life and stare up at her. And she goes reeling back, screaming, throws the stick in the air, falls back on her back. Her pants are at her ankles. And there is a homeless guy right where she was peeing. Like, literally peeing on this man's head. And Drew said, which... She reels back. She says, Drew told me he just kind of laid there looking at her. Like, he never moved.
Well, it's...
Like, I was just going to sit here and look at this. You know what I mean? Like,
there are things that you're programmed in life to be able to react to fairly easily.
That one is...
I don't think that was one of them.
I would have been... I don't know what I would have done. I would have freaked out
great
completely.
Great if he would have said, I think you're pregnant.
He gets a little red line across
his
forehead.
I'm no expert.
the cheapest pregnancy test you can get is to pee on a homeless person.
That's right.
But then, so they ran and they never found out if she's pregnant. She got home from that trip and turns out she was. And the rest is history. They have a lovely 12-year-old daughter as a result of this. But man, that story had me in freaking stitches. And the way they describe this guy looking at him. Oh, and the best part is her mother-in-law, who's always been a little, I won't use the word incontinent, but she's always been a little... quick to pee if there's any jostling going around.
Like kind of like Rainer.
Yeah, like my dog, Rainer. So they get out of there, they're running through that alleyway and they're screaming like, get out of here, there's a homeless guy, peed on a homeless guy. And her mother, this very kind of well-to-do, you know, wife of a real estate baron kind of lady, in her like silk tourist old lady pants,
right?
Proceeds to pee all over herself with laughter. Like, it was just a big pee party, this entire thing.
Like, urine was flowing. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So there you go. New Orleans in the summer. Mm.
That's fantastic.
Pretty good story, right?
Yeah.
So I told him there was a risk I was going to tell it on the show, and now the risk has turned out to be a real one. Sad news yesterday. Satoru Iwata, age 55, he was the president of Nintendo. Quite the sort of the cult Nintendo figure lately, in the last few years anyway. He's a very interesting guy. He's the one famously staring at a banana during one of his video conferences. Right. Did that great Muppet thing for this year's E3. Mm-hmm. Died at 55. Had a cancer growth in a bile duct, which is super rare, also very deadly, and just took him out. And it's just sad that that guy's too young. 55's too young, man. I mean, we're only 10 years his junior. Mm-hmm. Think of that.
Yeah, that's scary. Yeah,
I don't like it. Anyway, I'm super sad about it. And it's nice. The one nice thing to see is just the entire gaming industry is pretty much unified that this was one of these legendary dudes who, in a very short span, rose from kind of a gopher at Nintendo to starting to do a little programming and designing to then having a hand in some major releases and some big games, very successful games, and kind of slowly working his way to the literally the president of the company.
I remember seeing his Mii a lot, right? His little Nintendo Wii Mii avatar.
Sure. Yeah. Him and Miyamoto's Mii's always
right.
went around.
Reggie, I think, is probably in there.
Yeah, yeah. This must be, I don't know, must be pretty devastating. But he just seemed like this gentle-natured, not some kind of hardcore business-like, you know, Japanese business tycoon man. He always seemed like this nice, sort of sweet-natured executive.
Right.
And,
right.
I feel like that's rare in the games business. More and more the big executives are kind of power monster machines, and that's what you need sometimes, but he's a... He always seemed like a sort of meek guy. Always seemed like a bit of a gamer, and that's important, you know?
You know, doing a quick search of it this morning when I saw this was going to be in the headlines, I did a quick search to kind of find some more details about it. Mm-hmm. And when you Google Satoru Iwata, of course, right now, obviously, it's the news, right? It's Kotaku. Nintendo president Satoru Iwata dies at 55. New York Times, Satoru Iwata, Nintendo chief executive, dies at 55. But the top result is from Nintendo.co.jp, so Nintendo's Japanese site. Mm-hmm. And the headline is, notification of death and personnel change of a representative director.
Whoa, that's really?
And if that doesn't kind of speak to the different cultures...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like they're not getting too broke up about it.
Well, I know they are, because, I mean, they've got their flags are at half-mast.
Oh, yeah. They have to feel bad, but you're right about the whole, sure. like, the front of it, the face of it
I
is
mean,
different.
They definitely, you know, mourn, and they're a very, their culture does adequately and very verbally, vocally mourn death, but business is... big business in Japan. Like, you know, what we call business is big business in Japan.
Yep.
And you see it when you walk down the street and 90% of the people you're walking with are in suits and they're on their way home from work or on their way to work. So, I mean, it's a very, you know, business culture out there.
Sure, sure.
So seeing this as a headline is kind of an interesting way to reflect that.
Balloon Fight was one of my favorite games. He made that or helped make it. Earthbound was really cool. He helped make that. He's responsible for the release of some pretty impressive stuff. He's been head of the company during their brightest and lowest times. You could argue right now the Wii U stuff is a little low. The launch of the Wii, however, was a giant success for them, and he was kind of credited with that. Very strong handheld business, but through and through, one of the things that's great about him is he was always a guy who just liked games. Mm-hmm. And he just seemed happy, and he had bananas in his hands all the time, and that was great.
Here's a Cappy Kipper put a Muppet version of the staring at bananas.
Oh yeah, that's the one image. From the that's from that E3 conference.
Right. Yes,
it was great. If you never saw that, you should watch it.
With the push-ups and the
him and Reggie going Nintendo 63, Nintendo 64. Anyway, he'll be missed, and it's super sad, and I feel bad for anybody who was a fan.
Yeah.
All right. Ryan?
Yes, sir.
Let's call Daryl.
All right. Alrighty, then.
Let's move from sad news to Saturn. No, it's not Saturn. Having Daryl on is fine. It's not sad at all. We'll get him in here. We'll do his thing, and here's his theme.
Hey,
Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
I don't know if you've heard this, but podcasting is back. Mm. We're always looking for new ways to spread the word about the life-saving gifts of organ, tissue, and eye donation. Inspired by the Morning Stream and the Frog Pants family of shows, we decided to start our own podcast. The Gifted Life Podcast will improve your knowledge about organ, tissue, and eye donation as we have entertaining and informative conversations about donation. Each episode will address donation in the news, myths about donation, what's new in the community, new technologies, special guest interviews, and much more. The Gifted Life is available on iTunes and other podcast apps, or you can find us at lopa.org/podcast.
Nice. Daryl, are you there? No?
No.
Oh.
What?
What? Well, that's weird. Why didn't he...
Daryl,
answer your phone, damn it. All right, well, let's call him again.
Daryl.
I know he's listening. I've seen him on Twitter, tweetering.
Mm-hmm.
About Twitterage.
You can almost always find him on Twitter.
Almost always. You can find him on Twitter. Here, I'm going to take this up. Nope, there he is. Daryl, are you there?
I'm here.
That's weird. That first call didn't go through.
Huh.
I don't know.
What happened
here? I don't know. There's been a new version of Skype, and everything goes a little strange for about a week. That's the way it goes.
It's wonky.
Daryl Skeels is the Trek Nerd. Comes on the show, answers hard trivia questions about Star Trek. Daryl, how are you?
I'm great.
He had a nice correction for me this morning on FilmSack. Somebody had said Yeoman, or you had said Nurse Chapel would have been good for that. Remember our little comparative thing we were doing?
Oh, yeah, I think I said that. I meant Yeoman Rand, but I think, because I said Nurse Chapel, and you said, oh, yeah, you know who else is Roddenberry's wife?
Yeah,
who was
Majel Barrett,
who was Nurse Chapel.
Yeah, we were both thinking Rand, I think, is what happened
there. Yes.
It happens. Daryl.
It was fun, though.
Do you know when we're going to get a Star Trek trailer for the third movie? They just started production, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a ways off.
So yeah, probably not yet.
Because I've been thinking about a lot of trailers this week. The Batman and the whatnot that came on over the weekend.
Sure.
And I'm angry about some that didn't. Like the Warcraft stuff was not shown to the public. The supposedly incredible, both profane and violent Deadpool footage was supposed to be amazing. They showed it twice, and the only thing we got was a crappy cell phone video.
Yeah, and as soon as I saw the first few seconds of that, I said, no, this is not how I want. This is not going to be the way I see the Deadpool trailer for the first time. It's not on somebody's crappy Palm Pilot recording.
I'll just say two things about it. One, they are not holding back. If fans were worried that they were going to get like a PG-13 rated Deadpool, dude, holy smack. They're not... Not even close.
Good.
It's the most rated R thing I've heard in a while, and that was just the trailer. And he makes a real great dig at Green Lantern. I won't give it away, but it's fantastic.
No, you don't have to give it away because somebody messaged me with that. It's funny. They messaged me to say, hey, did you see the Deadpool trailer? And I replied back and said, well, I started to watch it from the link, but the quality is so bad, it's not how I want to see it for the first time.
Yeah.
And then he says, oh, okay. He says, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and the trailer is like, well, thank you for spoiling that. That would have been fun to see when I saw it in the trailer.
Yeah, you said you didn't want to be spoiled, and then he just said, okay, and then that's weird.
That's the problem is I didn't explicitly say, no, I didn't want to be spoiled. He says, no, I don't want to see the trailer like in that low-quality format is my first experience with it. What I should have said is, no, I don't want anybody to spoil it for me until I can see it high quality yet.
I don't understand. This is what I'm saying. I don't understand why those movies can't, or why those trailers can't be shown to the public by Sunday or something when the con is over.
Right.
Everybody's had their fun. What good does it do to not show us the Warcraft trailer, the Deadpool trailer, and any others that were held back?
I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
I don't get it. Anyway.
I guess they like their previews to be out there on crappy cell phone videos.
I suppose maybe that drives people to be interested, but I can tell you what, the WoW community, which is already a pissy bunch, couldn't be more mad about the Warcraft thing, and they blame Blizzard for it, even though it's really Legendary Pictures, and anyway, there's a whole thing there. Daryl, welcome. Let's do this. Let's do some Star Trek trivia right now. Your question is a Next Generation one, and it begins like this. In the Next Generation episode True Q, Amanda Rogers comes aboard the Enterprise. She is actually a Q, but doesn't know it. She was blonde, remember? I don't know why that matters.
Yeah.
Q, the one with the crusty space hand, shows up to help her discover her powers. Q gets in an argument with one of the crew and turns them into a dog. Amanda quickly changes him back, or him or them or her. Who does Q turn into a dog in this episode? Was it A, Commander William Riker? Was it B, Dr. Crusher? Was it C, Geordi LaForge? Or D, Captain John Luke Pickard? Which one of those was it? Picard, LaForge, Crusher, Riker. Those are your options, okay? I want you to think hard about those. But while you think about them,
hey,
tell us about today in Star Trek history.
Well, back on this day in 1940, a little bald baby was born, and his name was Patrick Stewart.
Oh. Wow. No. How many years ago?
75 years ago.
Wow. Oh, the big 75.
Yeah, that's a big number.
Yeah.
He seems to be doing all right. Mm-hmm. Although that's about the age you start checking the obituaries for your friends, right? Just saying. That's what my mom does. She's always in there going, I knew him in high school. Things like that. It's a little morbid, clearly. But, yeah, why not? 75 is a good time. Well, good for him. I feel like he's going to be here for a long time. I think I bet we get, I don't want to be morbid and predict deaths, but I'm going to say we get another good 10 or 15 years out of him. He'll be 90.
Yeah, I agree.
How about 90? That'd be all right, right?
He looks like he takes care of himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Occasional whiskey.
Sure. But he's, you know, he's not smoking eight packs a day or anything.
Nope.
Okay, my headphone cable just went to poo, so hold on a second, everyone.
Okay, well, we can say what we want, and he won't even hear us.
Okay. Okay, we're good. We're back. Hello, and we're back.
Oh, wait, so you didn't hear anything I just said?
Nope.
Oh.
Didn't hear a word. If you said something, I missed it.
Did it get recorded?
No. No, probably did, I guess.
Of course actually, it did, yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, I just couldn't hear it. Oh, did you guys really say something weird?
No, I said, he can't hear a word we're saying right now. We can say anything we want, and then you came back on.
By the way, in the last 24 hours, I have had, and this is not a joke, I have had 6 separate requests for this as people's ringtones.
Really?
Yep.
Like it's like a text message notification or something?
Yeah, they just all want to have it go off when they get texts. So I'm going to do a favor for everybody right now and tell you that on Twitter, okay, you know, are familiar with Twitter, everyone?
The guy on Twitter lied.
I got to find it here. Hold on. What? Okay, I actually have this linked via Dropbox. I'm going to now on Twitter at Morning Stream, okay? I'm going to put a link to this.
Wow.
The what sound. Period. Now, this is your one chance to ever get it again. I don't want to field any more emails about this. It's up on Twitter. It's public. Anybody can get it. Go make your ringtone. Knock yourselves out. It's nice. My tweet I just put up.
Right. I changed mine this weekend, as a matter of fact, Cicely Strong from Saturday Night Live going, awesome.
Oh, that's good. Wait, who's she? She's the one that plays Bieber all the time?
No, that's Kate McKinnon. Cicely Strong is the tall...
Oh, the black lady that's going to be in the Ghostbusters there.
No. That's someone whose name is not coming to me. No, Cicely Strong is the maybe Latino tall brunette that does... She's the character on... One of her signature things is the girl you didn't want to talk to at a party during Weekend Update.
All right. I haven't seen SNL in so long, I couldn't place it.
I know, but you named, well, I guess you named those other two people because they're in Ghostbusters.
I guess so. I'm bad in the rebuilding years. I don't do well with the with the SNL during that time.
That's right. And yeah, she used to do Weekend Update. That's right, with Colin Jost.
All right. Who's that? It's been so long, dude.
He's, you know what? The current lineup for Weekend Update is still, Weekend Update has almost always consistently been the best thing on Saturday Night Live. Mm.
When Norm was on there, it was the best when Norm did it.
Yeah. Even Colin Quinn. I liked Colin Quinn.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you're in a very special group.
I know I'm in a very small minority there, but his delivery was so disjointed and pained that it was funny in and of itself.
Yeah, I guess so. That's true.
Yeah, researchers have said that there's, you know, just weird pauses and
he kind of funny. He shortens his words and stuff.
Right, exactly.
I think the last time I saw Weekend Update, and this is really sad, I think Tina Fey was still there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not too bad.
It's been a while. That's at least 5-6 years, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
That's bad. All right, whatever. What are we doing here? Oh, the question.
Who got turned into a dog, Daryl?
Who got turned into a dog? What do you think?
I don't think it would be Picard, because that would be a big deal.
It would be disrespectful.
Yeah.
Turn the captain into a dog.
There are 4 kibbles, he would have said.
And I don't think it was LaForge because then his visor would just fall on the floor.
Oh, good point. Or would they have had the dog wearing the visor, dude?
They would have had the dog
yeah.
wearing the visor.
We don't remember that.
Wah, wah, wah. That would have been terrible.
A few episodes kind of bent the rules of comedy.
Yep. Like when Q summoned a mariachi band onto this bridge. Yes, that was so exactly. stupid.
Yes.
Anyway. Keep it rolling.
Riker or Crusher. I'm going to say she was talking to Crusher a whole lot.
The lady was?
So I'm going to say, because it just sounds familiar. It just sounds right.
How many Qs did we ever get? It was her, Corbin Burnson, and then regular Q, right?
Yeah.
Is that all the Qs?
But Vaj had Q power for a while, didn't she?
They traveled around together or something.
Oh, I guess he was just his Q-panion.
Yeah, Q-panion. Right. Yeah, that's right. She was just along for the ride.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Vaj.
Vaj.
I won't pronounce it the way I want to.
Then she went to jail with Piper.
Yeah, that's right. Vaj and Piper. And in jail, they called her Vag. So there's that. what are we doing? Oh yeah. So are you saying Crusher then? No Riker in this, huh? No Shaggy Dog Riker.
No, I don't think so.
He'd do that later in season 7 and
was the dog wearing a blue coat? I don't even remember that.
I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah. Would they go so far as to like make the dog wearing the clothes that the person was wearing?
I hope not.
I mean, Q has the ability to do just about anything. He could probably say, "Well, I'm going to turn you into a dog and take away your clothes."
Yeah. He could do.
Whatever
or
he could shrink the clothes and make them fit.
Well, he could do that. It would take more than shrinking, though. It'd have to be like recut.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to put a T-shirt on a dog?
Not easy, is it?
Not easy.
They get
I tried to put a diaper on a cat once.
You did? How'd that end up for you?
Not too good. I had to cut a hole for the tail, and it still just slipped off anyway.
Oh, but the cat just, I mean, it must have struggled mightily, right?
No, I don't think it minded that much. Right. It was a pretty stupid cat.
I had a cat scare the hell out of me this morning. I was on my jog, and I'd ended a podcast, and I was switching around to other stuff, so I was holding still and looking at my phone, and suddenly my legs had something very furry rubbing up against it out in the middle of nowhere. And I look down and there's this cat going, meow, just weaving in and out of my feet.
Feral cat or?
No, just some fat. It couldn't have been feral because the thing was too fat and fluffy. It looked like it had done well for itself for quite a while.
Right.
So, and then I left it. I don't know what happened to it. Anyway. All right, Daryl. So you're saying Crusher is what you're saying.
Yeah. And now I want to put a diaper on our really fat cat. We have a really fat cat now. We don't have any diapers anymore, so I can't do that.
Yeah, you're diaper free now in your life.
Yeah.
I know we can get some, though. There's probably.
Yeah, there are people with diapers.
They're available.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Readily.
I've seen them at the store. All right, well, let's find out if you're right. Is it Crusher?
Congratulations.
Turns out it is.
You're a winner.
Daryl is correct. Amanda's working on an experiment. Q convinces her to use her powers to speed up the experiment. Crusher is upset at Q over this. Here's a clip of all that upsetness.
If she wants to make things difficult on herself, that's her business.
Why did you interfere with what she was doing?
She's a Q. Making her plod through human chores is beneath her.
She asked not to be treated differently.
That doesn't mean she should be bored to death.
I don't interfere with what you're teaching.
You would be incapable of interfering.
And I don't think it's asking too much that you do the same. And you stay out of mine.
Well, when you put it like that, I think you're absolutely right.
Did Riker or did Crusher even know she was a dog for a second?
No, she
didn't
had no
seem
idea.
Like it.
Oh, weird.
What kind of dog did he change her into? Was it like an Irish setter?
Probably. Big long ears. And
you'd think, right?
Yeah.
You know, like if you're going to change, like if you're changing the crew into dogs, Picard's probably going to be a pug.
Yeah.
Or a British bulldog.
British bulldog, yeah. Who would you make? Riker be a good mastiff type dog.
German shepherd, maybe.
Maybe a German shepherd, sure. What would you make? Let's pick dogs for everybody.
All right.
What would you do? I'd make Guinan a poodle.
Mm.
I'd make... Let's see.
Data would have to be a lab.
Yeah.
Well, no, he'd be Nebo or whatever the Sony dogs were.
He'd be one of those hairless cats looking all snotty in the corner of the room without any emotion.
That's right. Geordi'd probably be a lab.
Yeah, he'd be a good lab. I think you make you'd make what's his name, Barkley, like a Chihuahua, because he'd be so freaking nervous all the time.
Well, they already had a Barkley dog on the Muppets.
Oh, they did.
It was a big Shaggy dog, so you might as well just reuse that one.
Sure, why not? You already got him. Pull him out, dust him off, go.
Perfect.
Daryl, good job. You did it. And that's good for a Monday, because that means you got the rest of the week to try to live up to it. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find it at This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast. All right, Daryl, a game from you now. Well, let's play that theme again, because I know you like it so much. Here, let's play that again. Where is it? Worst, yeah.
That's the best sound clip ever.
I love that. I plead like, for you to send it to me.
Somebody's sounding, sitting on the record player as it's playing.
Yeah, I love that thing.
That I want that for my ringtone.
I'll send it to you. I know you've asked for it, and I forgot. I'll send it to you. Don't worry. Yeah, anyway, continue.
Okay, anyway. Is this a actual TOS episode title in Japanese or an anime title?
Okay.
So maybe I should explain. Does that make sense?
Sort of. An anime title or an actual episode of the show?
Sure.
Yes, in Japan.
Okay. Wait. So
a Japanese translation of an episode title, or did they call them different things in Japan?
When they showed episodes in Japan, they gave them different titles.
Like Supaitamin or whatever. All right. I think we can do that.
Okay. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
If you say Cowboy Bebop, I already know the answer.
400 years old girl.
What the shit?
400 years old girl.
400 years old girl?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Was there an episode about a 400-year-old girl?
Probably. Picard, I've lived longer than
all
of Guinan you put
together. I mean, Guinan is super old, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Actually, but remember, it's TOS.
Oh, it's TOS.
Oh, there's TOS.
I'm limiting it to that.
Oh, thank you for that.
You
know what? I'm going to say no, because I think Charlie X was older than he looked.
Yeah. What about the little Clint Howard baby?
Yeah, maybe.
Was he older? I don't remember his deal.
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards anime.
I lean the same. Brian and I lean, both Brian and I lean that way. So we say anime title. What do you say?
Okay, if you turned on your TV and you were going to watch anime, it probably wouldn't be this. You would be watching Miri, the TOS episode.
Oh, really?
Oh, was she old? Was that the deal?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, screw her. And goodbye, Daryl.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
News brought to you by...
Brought to you by grilled chicken and a mashup from Ice Warm.
Well, we should play that probably. I forgot. Sure. Should we play it real quick?
Play it real quick.
What if it's bad? What if it's terrible? It might be
terrible. Oh, we can't, you know. Well, yeah, you've kind of got to recline back.
Oh, that's you talking. Kind
of you've kind of got to recline back if you want to really fully soak in it.
We like to assign our guests pimps. You're providing lube for this particular intercourse of conversation.
Oh, Jesus.
You were wrong.
No, it's a dusty finish.
How's the song go? Because I can't see. Or no. I'm wearing sunglasses at night so I can.
Oh, you didn't say shuttle.
What? No. What did I say? Explosion's what I meant.
No. I'm saying he didn't write the word shuttle. Read that again.
Oh. Riker also says it looks like the shittle was out of range of the explosion.
I was just glad I didn't have to go to Toshi Station and pick up any power converters.
Oh, all right. There you go. There's nice. I was going to say, most of that was us doing normal stuff on the show, so that's like a true mashup, but mm-hmm. I was really worried it wasn't going to have some non-sequitur, totally unconnected thing. And then at the end
you have that audio chunk of Veronica going, come on, or something like that.
Yeah. yelling that someone's a bitch or something.
Right.
Yeah, which he's known to do. All right, we have news.
Okay.
And I had great grilled chicken last night.
Mm.
Fantastic. Minions. It's a little little yellow dudes that just talk a bunch of gibberish. You know the ones.
Whatever they say.
This is more of a Murloc, but sure.
That was kind of Murloc-esque, yeah.
It scored huge at the box office over the weekend. $115.2 million. Who had this on the draft? Do we know who had this?
Oh, yeah. Let's see here.
Because that is something else, man. Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Minions was held by Cord Killers.
Wow.
Well, so they were already in front with... Oh no, this put them in front. M-Tricker had Avengers and I think this moved Cord Killers in front now.
So are we at the point yet where Fury Road's on Blu-ray? What are we waiting for, everybody?
We still have Ant-Man, Trainwreck, Paper Towns, Pixels, Vacation, Mission Impossible, and Fantastic Four.
Well, cross your fingers for Pixels.
Seven movies. Yeah. Once they're done, we can
take our loss.
Add up the numbers and dole out the tears.
We can happily occupy the middle ground once again.
That's right. And Terminator Genesis, I think that one's pretty much done. Mm-hmm. So all we have left is Pixels, which could do really well. You know, I mean,
it could.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling it, but it could. Oh my gosh, I can't stop yawning. You know, this is a guy who can't sleep. That's what that yawn means. I gotta sleep better. Tonight, I'm sleeping. I may take a nap today. How about that? Just take
a half hour nap today. Middle of the day nap.
A little power nap on the what you call it outside? What do you call that thing? The hammock? Oh. Anyway, this animated comedy is now at $115.2 million for its box office debut, if you count the $39 million it made Saturday night. The Little Yellow Helpers had another huge opening, or are a big opening for Universal this year. The studio's Jurassic World, Furious 7, and Pitch Perfect 2 all surpassed the $100 million mark. That is a historic year. Five great movies out of five. Oh, no, it says five great movies out, and it's only July, so they got more to come. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, though. Universal killing it, man. That's good. Mm-hmm. Since Waterworld have I been so happy with him. Do you remember how the Waterworld Universal logo was cool? Because it was like Universal with the big Universal coming around the front. Do-do-do-do-do-do, whatever. Uh-huh. And then when it faded out, the world behind it, suddenly all the water rose.
Exactly. The water rose up and the continents, for the most part, disappeared. Yep.
So cool.
Uh-huh. That might be something.
I really liked that.
Yeah, you never know. Something like that could come back.
Mm-hmm.
To you in a couple weeks.
Oh, could it?
Yeah, it could be important. Could be interesting.
Oh, because I know why. I'm so brain numb right now. I've got so much to do. I'm not going to be able to. We're all going to die. All right, here's the next part. The week's wider openers made it more than 100 million behind Warner Brothers. The Gallows finished with 10 million. And Gramercy's self/less grossed 5.4. I don't know a thing about that. Minions looks like it'll put it at the second biggest opening weekend of all time for an animated film. It doesn't say what the first is. Probably Toy Story 2 or something.
I think so. Yeah, isn't that because that had the record still? Even Toy Story 3 didn't overtake that one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Good job, Minions.
Well, for sure.
Well done. David Letterman, unretired. Not really, but he came out of hiding to make fun of Donald Trump. Hey, Brian, are you familiar with Donald Trump?
Isn't he that guy from some country?
China.
That's the one.
That's the one. I don't know how much money he has.
I'm really rich.
Okay, good. Well, now we know what you got there, buddy. He's pissed because there's no Chevys in Tokyo. And, So Letterman came out of hiding to, you know what, he's just kind of mean. That's my problem with Trump. I don't mind that he's a little bit nuts or that he says what he says. You know, people like that he speaks his mind or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he's just kind of mean. Like, he's super mean to people.
Right. Yeah.
He calls people dicks on Twitter and I don't know. Do we want that? Is that who we want? He says this, or he didn't say anything. David Letterman came out of hiding and, Letterman says missing out on lampooning Trump's White House bid was perhaps, quote, the biggest mistake of my life, unquote. Appearing with his pals Martin Short and Steve Martin on their live comedy show Friday in San Antonio, he made up for lost time with top 10 facts you didn't know about Donald Trump.
Oh, awesome.
Now, I want to see if there's video and audio of this rather than me reading
it. Oh, yeah, it'd be great for...
Yeah, it is. Let's see if it's any good. I don't know if the quality is any good. Here we go.
What is this, Dave?
Well, every suit I own comes with a top 10 list.
All right, it's going to be hard to hear.
Yep. So I think, in the audience.
It's a cell phone. By the way, Letterman's grown back his awesome beard. It looks rad because he's off TV now. He doesn't care. here you go, Brian. Number 10. And you have to every once in a while go, ha! Yeah, you got to pull a little Paul.
Repeat a couple words.
That thing on his head was the gopher in Caddyshack. Number 9. During sex, Donald Trump calls out his own name. Number 8. I'm trying to do it the way David
does. No, you're doing a great job.
Donald Trump looks like the guy in the lifeboat with the women and children. Number seven. See, you got it.
Yeah.
He wants to build a wall? How about building a wall around that thing on his head? Number six. Trump walked away from a moderately successful television show for a delusional bull. Oh, wait. That's me. Meaning Dave, not me.
Right.
Number five, Donald Trump weighs 240 pounds, 250 with cologne. Number four, Trump would like all Americans to know that that thing on his head is free range. Number three, tie? Oh, it's a tie for number two.
It's a tie.
Yep. If president, instead of pardoning a turkey for Thanksgiving, he plans to evict a family on Thanksgiving. And that's not a hairdo, it's a wind advisory. Number two, Donald Trump has pissed off so many Mexicans, he's starring in a new movie entitled No Amigos, which is kind of a reference to the two other guys standing on the stage.
Right.
And then finally, number one.
I was early with my drum roll, wasn't I?
Yeah, it's okay. Thanks to Donald Trump, the Republican mascot is also an ass. It's pretty funny. Pretty well done. It's nice to see Dave.
That was really, really well done.
See Dave.
I wonder how involved he was in writing those. I know there's probably a documentary or something that that talks about how, you know, that shows the writer's room. They had a little bit of that on that final show where they showed his typical day.
I hope so. My wife, for my birthday, early birthday gift, got me a subscription to docclub.com, which is like the Sundance Channel's documentary thing. And it's like it's like Netflix for documentaries. It's huge. Yeah. Totally up my alley. I love that stuff. And I will check there, because if it's going to be anywhere, it might be there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm going to look right now. Dogclub.com. Let's see if we can find anything about David Letterman. Let's see. Browse. Can I search? I sure can. There appears to be nothing about David Letterman.
Oh, great.
But there is every other... If you can think of any documentary, I guarantee it's here.
I'll bet it is, yeah.
I'm just not sure one about Dave exists yet. He's pretty private.
Huh.
I don't think he likes to talk to people about things.
So Ninja Steve says that hashtag Trump my cat is apparently a thing on Twitter now.
Trump my cat?
Yeah, it's a hashtag where you take photos of your cat with Trump-esque toupee hair on their head.
Oh, amazing.
There's some good ones.
Looking now. Oh, some of those are not good.
No, so I guess you brush your cat's hair, and then you take the mask that you just pulled out of your cat's fur and put it on top of their head. And,
oh, is that the rule?
I guess so. Some of these are spaghetti on this cat's head. So
wow, look at this.
I don't think they completely always follow the rule. That tabby, though, that orange tabby's got it perfect.
They're referencing Rachel Maddow. Is that because she started this? Because she's a major liberal. She probably is.
Yeah.
Kicking up some dirt. Who knows?
That's funny.
Well, there you go. Trump my cat. Available now. Maybe they skip ahead on this. That's, you know, how it went on stage. Oh, Dave. I miss Dave.
Mm.
Joss Whedon. He's in the news. He made your Avengers movies.
That's that guy.
Didn't seem real happy when he left.
When he left that
project? No, when he just left that project. He just seemed like, I'm done with the Avengers. I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And he did say back when the Avengers 2 came out that he was wanting to work on other projects. And it turns out now we know what it is. His next project is actually a comic book series about a female Victorian Batman. By the end of filming Age of Ultron, Joss Whedon made it clear that he was ready to move on to something else, that something else could be this. And he wanted something that big studios couldn't meddle with. During Comic-Con, the publisher Dark Horse and their panel got up, and Whedon announced that his next project is something much smaller, a new comic called Twist, which will come out next year. Quote, the idea is that most important question facing us, which is, why isn't there a Victorian female Batman?
Why isn't there?
Right. I've been asking that for years, Brian. That's all we know so far. Sounds kind of neat. Who knows? Cover art was shown during the panel. Could end up online. They didn't leak it, though. So who knows if we'll see anything. Freaking Comic-Con.
Creating yet another reality that DC's going to have to clean up in a few years.
Yeah. Well, except it's not actual Batman, because this is Dark Horse.
Oh, that's
true. So this isn't DC. I think what he's referring to is like, what if there was a lady in that time who was basically like Batman?
Right.
So she makes gadgets.
Yeah, so not named Batman, but was a... See, you got me yawning now. But so basically she, right, relied on a lot of gadgets. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think this may be the first day that you and I have yawned on the show.
I think so. People, it's not that the show's boring,
no,
folks.
We're having a great time. It's not that at all. I think we're old men, and we're just trying to make our way in the world.
Lack of sleep.
I guess so. I still say Joss Whedon's run with the X-Men, was it uncanny? No.
It was the all-new, or not all-new, Astonishing X-Men.
Astonishing X-Men is still one of my favorite reads of all time.
Yeah, that was a good relaunching or a new series launch.
Yeah, for me, it's almost the definitive X-Men experience. Mm-hmm. I really, really liked it, and I don't see any reason why a new comic project from him wouldn't be good. He did great with his fifth season / comic rendition of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, ninth, I guess. Is that right?
When he kind of made closure, got us some closure from the series, with the comic series. Yeah.
And he penned that, which is good. Uh-huh. I don't think he wrote the Firefly spinoff comics, but those were also good. Bring him on. I'm happy to have him writing again. That'd be fine. That'd be fine, Brian. Fine.
Oh, for sure. For sure. For sure.
I'm going to lay down, and I know Schleicher's going to talk about some of this, but I want to lay down some of the big moments from the Star Wars Force Awakens Comic-Con panel. Because I think that's a good thing to do. And it was good. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see it? Did you see the panel?
I did not. No, I saw none of Comic-Con.
Well, unlike everybody else, the Star Wars people went ahead and put a lot of this stuff online. So you can see the teaser behind the scenes video that they showed. You can see the entire panel in its completeness.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Why can't they all do that?
I don't know. I think with Star Wars, you just can't contain it. So it didn't. Mm-hmm. They were just like, whatever. Also, you know, it's a chance for them to just really show how behind this they are and how into it they are. I feel like they, if anything, you know, people are so worried going in that like, all right, new director, new people, new hands. Lucas is out of the picture. Disney owns it now. JJ's got, you know, a record that some people love, some people don't. Like, what are we going to do here? And they've gone above and beyond, I think, to show how much they respect the property. Maybe even too much, you know, like they just, I feel like they're trying so hard to make sure that we know that they're taking it seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. You do notice like in the video that was the one thing I did see was the video they posted.
Yeah.
And, Abrams is, all right, we're day one of Star Wars Episode 7. And how amazing is this? And there's just all of that the whole time, right?
Lots of hype about that. Also, just, you know, you got Mark Hamill talking about practical effects again and what it's like to be in actual sets and not green screen all the time. And I mean, they're really hammering home the things people hated about the prequels. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if George Lucas is sitting back listening to all this going, oh, geez, guys, I get it, but take it easy.
Hey, you know what? I'm fine with it.
Yeah, it's fine too. Or I'm fine too. So here's some things.
Okay, tell me some things.
J.J. Abrams confirmed earlier that the next trailer won't be ready until the fall, so there's no new trailer, but that'll be out in the fall.
Okay.
Who knows what that means? Probably November is my thinking, because it'll be a month away. They showed 3.5 minutes of behind-the-scenes footage. The first standalone anthology film, Gareth Edwards' Rogue One, starts shooting in 3 weeks.
Mm. Wow.
So about the time we're all nerd-tacular-ling or getting done, they'll be going, all right, next movie.
That's right.
J.J. Abrams can't do a Star Wars film without him. Star Trek III writer Scotty Simon Pegg has a role in The Force Awakens. He's dressed up in some sort of alien costume.
Yeah, you see him in that video, too, with his head off.
Yep. So that's cool.
Yep.
Adam Driver, Gwendoline Christie, and Domhnall Gleeson, Kylo Ren, Captain Phasma, and General Hux were all there as the good guys to give new details on stuff. And I thought Adam Driver was a bad guy.
Yeah, no, they came out after the good guys.
A few
new details.
I got you. Okay.
So those are bad guys. Captain Phasma.
That name's weird, right? Phasma.
Oh, Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah.
Could you have maybe petitioned to get a different character name for this?
Anything would have been better. Adam Driver's such a weird looking dude. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah.
Such a weird looking guy, though. Let's see. All the originals showed up. Carrie Fisher was there. Mark Hamill. And Han Solo there. All hanging out.
No, not Han Solo.
Sorry. It's Harrison Ford.
Oh, he did. Yeah. Oh, I thought he didn't. I thought, I'm sorry. I thought of the photo that I saw. I just saw Yeah, like Carrie Fisher.
They're up there rubbing elbows. He talked a bunch. He's all better now after his plane crash.
Was he limping?
Nope.
Oh, good.
He seemed to be fine. Seemed
good,
like
good
old Harrison Ford to me. Nice. Yeah, that was a big deal. And the Nerdist is basically living out his childhood dream this entire time. As he's
Sure. So Hardwick got to moderate that?
Mm-hmm. Jeez. He's moderating everything now. I think that's what that guy's job is now. Podcasting, it's back.
Good for him, man. Yeah.
Hey, he's a hardworking son of a bee. He's kicking A and taking names. You cannot deny that guy doesn't have the wherewithal, the following, the charisma, mm-hmm. the look, the take, the talk, everything. He's got it all. This was what he was meant for. Screw his fledgling, longtime stand-up career. This is the new Nerdist.
Right. Yeah, you don't need to just find it at BlizzCon.
That's no. Oh, was he? He didn't do. Oh, yeah, he did do BlizzCon. He did something there.
Did the costume contest? Oh, I think, right.
Yeah, I missed it.
Did some stand-up before that. We saw it in line. You and I were waiting in line for Overwatch.
Yeah, that's right. He took over for
Jay Moore.
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I missed that whole thing. I missed most of it. You're right. There was video while we were up there.
Yeah.
Were we up there? Where were we?
We were in line for Overwatch.
Down
on
the floor?
And they had the video screen up above us.
Was it down on the floor, the main floor?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I don't remember where I was or what happened. It's a long time
it's
ago.
It's all a blur.
That's the first sign of Alzheimer's.
I know.
That's it. We're going to take a break when we come back. It will be time. Oh, I got to mark this. By the way, a quick note from a sponsor. And before we move on, a reminder that Harrys.com is sponsoring today's program. We love these guys. Fixing the problem most of us have, you're trying to shave and you're paying too much for overpriced razors. Having a dull blade is no fun. And you don't want to go spend $4 a blade for your average blade you get at like a grocery store or a freaking, you know, corner store. Those are terrible. There's a company fixing all this for us. It's called Harry's. HARRYS.com. High quality razors at about half the price of the big brand blades. They ship directly to your door, absolutely for free. German engineering at its finest. And you want sharp, you want high performance, you want no more dull blades, they've got you covered. They guarantee your satisfaction, in fact. I got the Starter Truman set, and it's an amazing deal. You want to get $5 off your first order? Just like me? Use the code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout at Harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com. And the code MORNINGSTREAM for $5 off your first purchase at Harrys.com. All right, now, Brian, we're back.
Yes.
Brian is going to take us out with a little bit of music before we get back to Stephen and Veronica. Tell me what you got.
Well, Jason wrote in, said, "Hey there, Scott and Brian. This week, my best friend of 24 years leaves for the Air Force. I see this as a chance for the two of us to grow into different people with our own unique experiences, but it'll be tough losing the one friend to whom I could always rely on. I would like to play a cheerful song to see him off, so if you could play Rainbow Connection, it would be much appreciated. Oh, and a side of tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch, please."
Oh,
love
man.
The show, though.
Damn
Jason.
It. Damn it. Hold on. It's right here. I got it.
I love Big Bird.
That's not it.
It's a tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
They're right next to each other.
Nice. And yeah. You love Big Bird. Yeah. The version that he specifically requested is one that that came from the same album as another song we've played on TMS. It's from the Muppets The Green album, which came out in 2011. Had a bunch of different artists, pop artists, covering popular Muppet music. This one has Weezer and Hayley Williams covering Rainbow Connection, originally written by Andy Williams and performed, of course, by Kermit the Frog. Here's Weezer and Hayley Williams with Rainbow Connection.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that and someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? And what do we think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers.
Can you say Oshkosh Bagosh?
I want him to.
Oh, okay, sure.
Did you say that? Say Oshkosh Bagosh.
No.
I reach out to Oshkosh Bagosh.
Oshkosh,
Bagosh. Bagosh, Bagosh, Bagosh.
Oshkosh Bagosh.
Oshkosh Bagosh. Kids' clothes as tough as our name.
What would Jesus do if he were offered illegal cocaine drugs?
The Morning Stream. The sugar and cream in your coffee. Aww.
All right, we're back. That was a lovely rendition of that song.
Wasn't that sweet?
Yeah.
How sweet.
I like that a lot. I saw. if I didn't recommend it before, I want to recommend it again. There's an Andy Williams documentary called Andy Williams Is Not Dead, or I'm Not Dead or something.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's really, really good. And it's not what you expect, and I thought it was awesome. So people should watch it. Netflix.
Cool.
All right. What are we doing here? Oh, we got stuff. We got things. Let's get our good pal in here.
Okay.
Come on, Skype. Don't let me down now. It's time to shine.
Yeah. Jeez, come on now.
Here we go. We're ringing him in, and we're playing his tune. Steven Schleicher, Mr. Comic-Con, as far as I'm concerned, because that's where I got all my news this week. How's it going? How are you?
I'm tired.
Yeah? A little bit?
Maybe I'll yawn, too.
My favorite thing was following your various Instagrams, where you would post a picture of you with, like, a helmet on.
Well, I figured that I had to celebrate Comic-Con in my own way. All these other people got to go. You got to dress up.
Sure.
I might as well sit in my basement and dress up.
Cosplaying for your phone.
Nurse my beer and cry.
I liked it.
By the way, can I just say something really quick to stave off a bunch of emails?
Sure.
Paul Williams is who we're talking about, not Andy Williams. Andy Williams is another songwriter.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we mean Paul Williams. We know.
It's
like Yeoman Rand and Nurse Chapel. We mix them up sometimes. Okay?
Yeah. Still Alive is the name of that.
Still Alive, and it's great. Watch it. Yeah. All right. So, what the hell? What are we doing? Oh, yeah. We're talking to you, Stephen.
Hello.
Let's try to sum it up, sort of. We have, I mean, okay. So many things happened. Let's start with that Batman versus Superman trailer.
Oh, it was pretty good.
It was really good. And they did the thing that you and I have talked about for a long time, which is there needs to be some accounting from Man of Steel. Right. And I've always said Man of Steel will hold up better in the long run if it gets addressed properly. And it feels like this is all about that.
Yeah. In fact, the whole people are like, well, why are Batman and Superman fighting? Well, the day that Metropolis fell, Bruce Wayne was in Metropolis and Wayne Tower was destroyed. And he is holding that resentment against Superman, and that's kind of how it just continues to build and grow into this bigger storyline that we're seeing in there. This is the one thing, you know, Warner Brothers did right. They did two things right during their panel. Immediately after the Man from U.N.C.L.E. trailer debuted, they put that online, and then about 2 hours after their panel, they put the Batman versus Superman panel online.
Yeah.
And the other thing that they did right was they brought the cast of Batman v Superman up on stage and actually allowed them to say a few things instead of just waving and rolling them off like they did last year.
Yeah, that was weird last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Very strange. Did they? Okay, so here's my question about what we can glean from the plot.
Okay.
I hope what we're seeing isn't Batman only mad because his building got destroyed. And then maybe he's mad.
You stole my building.
Yeah, and maybe he's mad because it was filled with people he cares about, and by extension, this entire city experienced destruction on a scale that should frighten anyone into thinking that this God man who just showed up needs to be dealt with in a way that is meaningful.
Yeah, because there's been, you know, obviously there's not been any accountability to why haven't they done something with this Superman? Why is he still allowed to walk around? He was responsible for killing millions of people.
Yeah. Now, I'm telling you right now, the entire trailer, nailing it, got me. I'm in. I'm excited. Bring me something special. This is a conflict we want to deal with, and we know what it leads to. It leads to a partnership that is one of the greatest in comic book history. Like, all of this stuff is good, but they had one moment in there that made me go, damn it! And it's when they showed a brief flashback of the origin story of Batman.
Oh, right. We need to see the shooting of Bruce Wayne's parents yet again.
Don't do that to me. It's probably a quick dream thing. You know, it's probably not a big, extensive scene or anything. But it's going to be him waking up in a sweat because he saw his parents get shot in the alleyway again. It's like if I see another spider bite Peter Parker, I'm going to poop a brick. Right.
Exactly the same kind of situation.
Erg. You think we're okay, though?
I think we're okay. I mean, even Scott Kurtz, who hated Man of Steel, is like, I'm into seeing this movie.
Yeah, I think we're all, well, like any, I keep saying, and I'll continue to say, I prefer to be disappointed in things I've actually seen.
Right.
So if this movie is bad, well, then I'll say so. But if it's great, then I can't wait. And I want to have an open mind about it. And it's a chance for these just legends, right? I mean, they are... Say what you want about, you know, everything Marvel has in their stable and everything else. Batman and Superman, they are truly the two pillars of all of this stuff. You kind of don't have much of it without them.
Yeah, if it wasn't for 78 Superman and 89 Batman, or 88 Batman, whatever year that was, then we wouldn't be where we are today.
Yeah, they established this new idea that you can put heroes in movies, and not only that, they're just so important to the pantheon of hero fiction. Mm-hmm. So do this right, please. Just make this rad and awesome.
They've got it off to a great start, and it looks really, really good. And I think people are excited about it more so than they have been in a long time. I mean, the internet was, you know, there were probably three big things that happened at Comic-Con. One of them is Batman versus Superman. The other one is Star Wars.
Yeah.
And the third one is Deadpool. And you had, you guys were talking earlier about, oh man, I wish this Deadpool footage was online except for this crappy cell phone clip.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Reynolds came out this morning and was like, or late yesterday, and was like, look, we'd love to release it, but a lot of the special effects that we showed you were not ready yet. Mm. And so in 3 weeks, you'll get the Comic-Con trailer.
Oh,
and
that's
cool. And it's a long piece, and it's really bloody, very sweary.
Oh, yeah.
And so Ryan Reynolds just came out and said, hey, we're not trying to be dicks.
I didn't know that Fox owned the Deadpool name. or you know, to make the movies. I thought that was back in Marvel stable.
I thought so too. Yeah. So.
It's all part of the crazy because, who owns what.
Mm-hmm. Because of that whole Wolverine.
Yes, it's all part of the Wolverine thing. Wolverine Origins.
Right.
Where Deadpool was in that. So by extension, Deadpool is under the Fox banner.
Yeah, that's fine, I guess. Oh, one more thing I have to ask about Superman v. Okay. Batman there.
Mm-hmm.
Two things occurred to me. One, for the first time ever, I'm finally looking at that logo in a new way, and I realized that, yes, the Bat logo is definitely the thicker Frank Miller throwback,
mm-hmm.
but it's also big enough to hold a Superman logo in it. I think that's part of the reason they made it big.
Yes.
That's one thing. Second thing is, why is Batman signaling himself with the Bat signal?
Because Superman's just floating up there in the darkness and he needs to see him better.
Is that what he's doing?
Ooh, yeah. I like that. I like that explanation.
It's the only one I've heard that's any good because everything else is like, I don't know why he's putting out, now that you mentioned it, how come he's putting the
He's not calling himself. He's like, hey, it's dark because if you watch the, and again, this goes back to a year ago when they showed that part from the trailer. It's dark and you don't see anything. I think you see Superman's red eyes,
yeah.
and then he's lit up by the bat signal.
All right.
And Superman Batman standing down there and is like, "Let's get ready to rumble,
right.
brother."
All right. I'm genuinely pumped. So
yeah, it's gonna be good.
Bring it on. Yeah. Let's talk about Marvel losing a little traction to the WB and Fox these days. What's going on
with
that?
Well, you know, Marvel came out and said, we don't have anything to show you. Nothing's ready. We're just shooting stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
Please go check out the Lego booth and see all of our Lego Marvel stuff that's coming out. But they really didn't have anything to show. But they kind of did because 20th Century Fox came out with another announcement that there's going to be yet another Wolverine movie. The cast of Apocalypse was up on stage mm-hmm. to promote that film, and everybody went crazy. And then, of course, Deadpool was out there, too. And so... it was really kind of a good move for Fox to have some quote-unquote Marvel, they're really Marvel properties out there, even though it's not from Marvel Disney. And I think fans really got a kick out of that, and the Deadpool piece went over like gangbusters, and
chanted to see it twice, and I guess Ryan Reynolds went over to somebody and talked him into playing it again.
Yeah. It's really cool, and I'm glad, again, like I said, I'm glad that they're coming out and saying, well, here's the reason why we're not releasing this right now. But it kind of, like, if you're comparing, you know, a lot of things that happened that were right and wrong, like I said, WB was right in releasing the Batman Superman footage right away.
Yeah.
I can understand Fox not wanting to release Deadpool. Star Wars, not only did they, did Lucasfilm say, thank you, we wouldn't have done this without you, they released everything online, and they took everybody in Hall H to go see a Star Wars concert immediately after. They're like, everybody get up, we're going to march down the street to this park. And we're going to put on a concert for you guys.
They all got lightsabers, didn't they?
They got lightsabers, mm-hmm. and the stars went with them and everything. So it was a pretty good thing for them.
Yeah,
but
pretty cool.
Why WB didn't release the Suicide Squad trailer, I'm still confused at, because that one looked pretty complete from the bad cell phone footage I saw.
You can say shitty all you want. Here's the thing. Right. When they showed that trailer, and the reaction from people there was very
really
positive.
Good, too.
Yeah. People are flipping out about the Suicide Squad. So, yeah, I don't know. The way they pick and choose at Comic-Con is just freaking weird. Whenever Legendary's involved, they never do. They're always weird about it. But I don't understand how one studio will be like immediately put it online and then hold some other thing forever. And I guess the Deadpool one makes sense to me. But
and so some people today, I think it was Warner Brothers and 20th Century Fox, were like, we're very disappointed that fans went out there and posted that stuff online. Mm-hmm. And we may not bring original footage back to Comic-Con in the future.
Oh.
They said this last year. They said it the year before. There's no way that they can crack down. They're blaming San Diego Comic-Con organizers for not having tight enough security. Come on, guys, just put it online within an hour of it being there. You know, people go to the movie theater to see that first Star Wars trailer and be first in there, or Harry Potter or whatever it may be, so that they can say that I was first. I saw it there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, everybody who's still going to go to Hall H gets to say, hey, I saw it first there and it was fantastic. All the rest of you got to see it on your little 5K computer monitor at home.
Yeah. Your little 5K monitor. That's pretty good. That was I going to say, but the whole concept of let's not give it to the public is a little bit beyond me,
mm-hmm.
because you have I understand the idea of rewarding an audience that's there local in the flesh and blood to see a thing, but the hype machine is such that holding all this stuff back in 2015 is just not doing you any favors.
there's also this big thing about, oh, well, the fans who came here, the dedicated fans that came here, look, there's only 130,000 people that could even get to Comic-Con. That Hall H only holds 6,500 people. Yeah. So even the dedicated fans who, and this is the other problem, people were in line on Wednesday to get into Saturday's panel presentation.
Yeah, whole new argument about San Diego, wow, too big for the britches.
So if that. The people who get into Hall H, their reward is, hey, they got into Hall H, they got to see the stars on stage and interact with those stars on stage. Everyone else had to wait. Now, there have been a couple of sites online, YouTube, that have been able to, for whatever reason, post all the Hall H panel presentations, which I thought was going to be a big no-no. Next year, Comic-Con has teamed up with a company that will stream, probably pay-per-view stream, a lot of the presentations from the convention.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. It's funny. I was talking with somebody this weekend about that, saying that it'd be great if they did kind of like what BlizzCon does, where you pay an amount and then you can stream the panels.
Yeah, the $49 virtual ticket, they call it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They haven't come out with all of the details, although if you look at what Wizard World is doing with Con TV, it's probably going to be something similar to that.
Oh, all right. That's cool. I like this. Yep. And I know the argument comes up every single year, but they're already locked in for additional years, right? They're not leaving San Diego.
Oh, yeah. The contract came out, I think it was the week before the convention, that they are there until 2018.
Good Lord. All right. Yeah. Great. All this stuff will be out, and we'll be on to new things by then.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be crazy. Finally, and Star Wars really did win the show.
Yeah, they did. I don't think that there's any question that Star Wars won the show, not only for their Hall H presentation, but if you walk the floor, there are some amazing Star Wars stuff that's out there. One of the things, if you went in and saw Hot Toys over at the Sideshow Collectibles booth. Now, Sideshow Collectibles sells these big, high-end, premium format figures and statues, and it's really cool stuff. I've got a bunch of it here. No, not a bunch, but I have some.
What is it called again? What's the name?
Premium format figures. I mean, these are things like, I've got a sixth scale figures. These are figures that stand 12 inches tall. They're highly detailed. Yeah. They're fantastic. They sell prop replicas. They do all sorts of stuff. They also come with a very premium price. Well, they partner with this company out of China called Hot Toys. And Hot Toys unveiled two massive pieces that Star Wars fans are going to want to get their hands on. The first one is a 1/6 scale replica of the Millennium Falcon's cockpit.
Ooh.
If you want to kind of put this into perspective, I just said that these 1/6 scale figures are about 12 inches tall. Mm-hmm. Those 1/6 scale Star Wars figures will fit inside the cockpit. So you can get four figures in there, sat down with the canopy on there. And it's massive. It's big.
By the way, these figures, $469.
Some of them go very high. There is a Hulkbuster, I think, that's about $800. And there's a brand new Hulkbuster toy that they just unveiled that actually mechanically opens up, and there's a little Iron Man inside.
Yeah.
I think that one's going to go for about $1,000. No word on what the cockpit is going to go for, but I'm going to bet it's around $1,500 for that. Mm-hmm. The other one that they unveiled, if you think that the cockpit is big, they unveiled a 1/6 scale TIE fighter, complete TIE fighter.
1/6 scale, that's huge.
Yes. And now, granted, it only fits one character, but we've got some pictures up on Major Spoilers, and you can go look up Sideshow Collectibles on Facebook, and they've got pictures there. But it stands about 3.5 feet high.
Wow, dude.
Yeah. And it's probably about what, 4.5 feet wide.
I desire it.
No word on price.
How cool is that?
Is just the tip of the iceberg of some of the Star Wars stuff that was going on at Comic-Con this year. And it was great. And I think everyone would agree that Star Wars won Comic-Con this year. And that's going to push us right into December when the movie releases. And it's going to continue all the way through next year at Comic-Con because you're going to have Rogue One coming out.
Yeah, that's true. You're not going to be waiting too long to get the next batch of whatever, man. And that's going to go on forever.
That's going to go on for the next 10, 15, 20 years.
Disney Star Wars ATM is what it's going to be.
Yep.
I don't know if we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I know Veronica's waiting. But just between Avengers and Inside Out, Disney has made $3 billion at the box office this summer just from those two movies.
Wow. My gosh.
Wow.
Yeah,
George Lucas is like, maybe four wasn't enough. Jeez. And they're going to make so much money by December.
Oh, yeah, the end of the year isn't over yet.
No, they're going to make the biggest. Dude, Walt Disney himself, is he rolling around in his grave just going, oh, my gosh, what the hell is happening out there? Like, I can't even imagine.
It's actually a refrigerator behind
that's right.
One of the rides there at Disney World.
A little frozen, right.
Yeah, yes. him and Michael Jackson, that's the rumor, you know. He's in one of those two now. Great. Well, Stephen, always a pleasure hanging out and talking to you. By the way, a quick note to if anyone listening to us has any idea where this stuff is, Adam Savage of Mythbuster fame has lost his Shankara stones. Somebody stole them from a party at San Diego Comic-Con.
Which really sucks, right? I mean, they got stolen once before and Indiana sounds Jones like, had to recover them and now they get stolen
like a
again.
Hoax,
it
right?
does sound like a hoax or it sounds like something. Totally
does he have Jamie Heineman going,
bring back to us. Yeah.
Amrisha Puri, though, did pass away in 2005.
Oh, he
so
did.
He's not responsible.
That's right. Not that guy.
Yeah.
Kalima.
Aram.
Chuck Tidey. Yeah. Shankara stones on the loose. Somebody find him, and that's rude that somebody stole those bubbles.
Those kinds of things happen all the time at Comic-Con. I mean, there have been very rare first issues that have gone missing. Original art goes missing sometimes in the tens and hundreds of thousands of dollar range.
Yep.
So for for Adam to lose these is really kind of a kick in the
balls.
In the balls, yeah.
Yeah, and that one year that Robert Kirkman got stolen, they finally found him. Just kidding. All right. Hey, well, that's awesome. By the way, Mark Maron has an interview with Kirkman. I want to listen to it. It's up today, I think. I'm going to check that out. Mm-hmm. Steven Schleicher at Majorspoilers.com. All this stuff that he covered is all there in beautiful, glorious, full color here in the modern era of the internet. Anything else you'd like to mention?
I know. That's it. Check us out. I appreciate everyone that sent positive comments this past weekend about all the coverage that we did.
It was great.
Go make sure, if you haven't, check out our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video. Mason has a brand new video that covers the new Marvel Ant-Man Lego set.
Mm.
And it's kind of spoilery, although we kind of knew it ahead of time, because it's called Ant-Man The Final Battle. And if it's anything like the movie, it's kind of spoilery.
Battle?
Oh, yes. I'm not even ready for the first one yet.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, good. Well, Steven, take it easy. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
See you, man.
See
you. There he goes.
Cool.
Off into the land of where Steven goes. It's called Veronica.
Veronica!
Veronica Belmonte. She's coming right up here. Right after I push this. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the destroyer of worlds, Veronica. Let's call her Anne Veronica Belmont. Veronica Anne Belmont on the line. Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, did you see anyone famous or anything cool while you were at Comic-Con? Or you weren't there very long, but how'd that go?
It was great. I didn't see anyone famous. I mean, I saw a lot of great author friends who I think are famous.
Sure.
But I didn't see any movie stars.
Hung out with Gary Whitta and those guys? That's cool.
I did, yeah. I hung out with Gary Whitta and Chuck Wendig, Sam Sykes, Diana Rowland. It was a great, the guys from James S.A. Corey, Ty Frank, and Daniel Abraham. So they're working on the new show, The Expanse, for HBO. For sci-fi.
Sci-fi, right. Yeah, that looks great.
It looks fantastic.
Hold on. I'm is that the one with Mike Erman Trout in it? It is. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Banks. Yeah. That looks really good.
Anything with him in it is awesome.
Yeah. I feel like I'm kind of all in on that guy. He's the voice of, speaking of video games, he's the voice of Commissioner Gordon in the new Batman game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I just love his take on it. It's really, really good. I mean, it's basically just Mike.
No half measures.
No half measures, Batman. Veronica Belmont comes on the show on Mondays. We talk about video games, the happenings in and around the business itself, and what's going on today and what's on your mind.
Well, I think you probably know what the big story is of today, and that's the sad news of Nintendo CEO Satoru Iwata passing away very young at age 55.
Yeah, too young. Like, that's... it came as a complete shock. I know that there was some stuff a couple of months ago, and it had, you know, people were talking about why he looked kind of a little thin and frail in one of their I don't know if it was a shareholder video or something, but he was looking a little bit thin, and had said at the time, going through some medical stuff, and then I kind of completely forgot about it. E3 came along, he didn't go, but they don't really go anymore anyway. They have their video thing, and he was in it, but in puppet form. And everyone loved that.
I know.
And it was so fun and so cool and everything. And I think people just forgot that he was sick. And then suddenly this news this morning was just like, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it.
The official cause of death that they're putting out there is bile duct growth, which I'm not familiar with. I don't really know what that means. But he also had battled with cancer as well.
Yeah, so I don't know if they were tied together or not. It's a good question, because I keep hearing conflicting reports that it was bile duct cancer, and then I heard it was a growth there. The cancer was unrelated. But yeah, there's some inner workings as human beings that if that stuff gets all jammed up, you're in big trouble. And that's a rare thing that he had, but something that works very quickly. The hard part is, I mean, there's a real legacy there. It's not just, you know, some stodgy old president of a company. he rose up through the ranks of that place from, you know, the very lowest of positions and did really amazing work all the way through and is responsible for some of the coolest stuff we've played, you know?
I mean, he's a game creator. He's a gamer at heart. So I think it's going to be a big blow to the company. And we don't know who is going to come up to succeed him after that either. And it's, you know, it's going to be a sad, hard time for Nintendo as a company.
Nintendo or Miyamoto is right around the same age, I think.
But he's already said he's not really interested in doing like running the company. He wants to keep making games.
Doesn't seem like the guy would doesn't seem like one that would do well in the position of management. He'd rather be creative and, you know, he's like a big kid anyway.
Yeah, I almost feel bad even talking about this whole succession thing because, you know, it's just such a sad thing personally for the people who knew him and his family and gamers all around the world who loved his work and loved Nintendo. But, you know, that's what people start talking about as soon as this kind of thing happens. What's next?
Yeah.
But I think it's good to take some time to reflect and hug your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
love your people.
It's also good to see the gaming community being very positive and, you know, a lot of memories from a lot of developers who admired him and stuff. I mean, it's easy for him to kind of blend into this sort of corporate game head sort of role, but you forget that this is a, you know, a dude with a long history and some very successful initiatives and some games that I love that he was directly involved in. I mentioned Balloon Fight at the top of the show, but man, I could play Balloon Fight right now. And that's, you know, one of the games that guy made.
Yeah, so, it's an amazing legacy, and I think that's definitely what will be remembered about his time at Nintendo and in the game industry.
The weird thing is today I've seen two separate Miyamoto death hoaxes today.
Really?
Jeez, oh, really?
The internet sucks sometimes.
Poor taste, yeah.
It just is a terrible place where awful things are said. I don't know what they'll do next, but we'll probably talk about it here a little bit. It'll be an interesting... it'll be interesting to see what they do. I assume they'll pull from within, but I don't know who's over there. I can't think of a single prominent person outside of Reggie, and he's in America. He's the U.S. side. So I don't know who it is, but that'll be interesting. And to see if anything changes, if Nintendo, switches direction at all. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't know either, but very sad news. Should we end with something fun?
Yeah, let's
end
with something very positive. What do you got? Lay it on me.
I'm never going to finish Witcher. I don't know. You sucked me into this rabbit hole of Witcherness. It's like endless. I'm only level 12, and I've played like 60 hours. I don't even know what's happening with my life anymore.
Yeah, that game.
I don't have time to play this game, but it's sucking me in.
It's
so
good,
much.
Isn't it? And it just gets better, and the writing's great, and that movement patch really improved things, and there's just a lot of good.
I even have access to that because my son bought it for his PS4, so I can play it. Yeah. I should dig that out.
Did you get it on PC?
Be forewarned.
Yeah, it's a beast. They're not kidding around with this thing.
I can't believe how big it is. Yeah. That's what she said.
Well, I appreciate the reminder to keep plugging away because I'm about where you are, and I need to keep going.
Yeah.
We'll compare notes in a couple of weeks when we see you at Nerdtacular 2015.
Woo-hoo!
It's going to be fun to see Veronica and everybody. It's going to be a blast. And if people are coming and you haven't yet heard, we also have Chris Metzen coming, and he's going to be a part of a big panel. We're going to talk about Blizzard stuff. It's going to be rad. We'll stream the whole thing. So everybody at home who can't come, we've got a way to cover you there.
Don't tell him I just canceled my World of Warcraft subscription. Crap. I didn't mean to say World of Warcraft. It just came out that way. Don't tell him I canceled my World of Warcraft subscription.
We're not even
going
to mention it.
Okay.
You don't think he already knows?
He already knows.
Think he got an alert?
Awooga! Awooga!
Yeah, he gets a little phone alert.
Here
a list
of the people who quit today. Oh!
His phone's like, Veronica quit. Have a great week, and I'm really looking forward to it. In the meantime, though, I hope you have a fun time. Play The Witcher, and let's do this again real soon.
All right, see you guys.
Bye now. All right. She hung up so fast. She hangs up faster than me, by the way.
She does.
I've been on phone calls with her, but she's just like, out, gone. Yeah. Drop the mic, out of there. People think I'm fast. Pfft, nothing.
Nothing on her.
All right. What are we doing now?
Let's do some emails and calls.
I think we should. Somebody didn't update. Oh, that's interesting.
What?
I was wrong about the age. Miyamoto's 62. He does not look 62 years old.
Oh, wow. No.
Yeah. Weird. All right. Let's play some emails and do some calls. I got an email here from Walter, wrote in.
Okay.
He says, hey, Scott, on a Current Geek, you brought up your concern about character bloat after Tom mentioned the actress cast as Elektra. I think you're forgetting that season one had multiple villains and characters. There was obviously Kingpin, but also his inner circle, Wesley, Allison, Madam Gao is how you say it, I guess, Nobu, the ninja guy. You also had Stick. You didn't mention him. They had Russian brother. Or you had the Russian brothers.
Wasn't, he wasn't one of the bad guys. He was one of the Kingpin's inner circle.
Good point. They had crooked detective partners, Vanessa, blah, blah, blah. Then that was just the bad guys. We also had Stick, Foggy, Karen Page, Ben Urich, Claire, and the nurse, and the priest Matt to talk to. Or the priest Matt talked to. By the end of the season, a lot of those people are gone. The fact that they added two more characters is not a sign, is not the sign to raise the flaggard. A flag and? Oh, it's supposed to be a space.
And.
To raise the flagand.
Flagand. A flagand of beer.
He says, don't worry about character bloat, basically. Long live the Frog Pants Nation, Walter. Yeah, I'm not that worried about it. It'll be fine. I'm very excited about it, though. I know that.
Look, if the Sopranos can survive with 272 characters, then Daredevil will do just fine.
That's a good point. They had a lot.
11 of them were named like Bobby or Tony or Anthony or...
Yep. There was a lot of that, especially about season 4 or 5. I was like, who the hell am I even looking at right now?
I need a flow chart.
Yep. Boy, the chick in the bucket, though, in that show was the, what's her name? Can't think of her name.
Drayda Mateo?
No, the one from his psychiatrist. What was her name?
Melfi, Dr. Melfi.
Yeah, she just had all this important story stuff, and then just kind of, it didn't matter in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think she basically just said, it's enough. I just went out of this whole business. And
I guess because it started out like they never addressed that. They had that whole rape subplot. They never addressed that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. It just kind of like, I think they had bigger plans for that, for those two being more connected down the road. And they just
maybe
lost interest and changed it or something. I don't know.
No, Captain Kipper. It's not Dr. Milfy.
Yeah. It's Melfi.
Melfi.
John wrote in, says, hey, Scott, since you were talking about this today, you should know that you were talking about it. What? You should know that what you were talking about is often complained of. That's a bad sentence. But it is often complained of. It is often complained of exclusively against young women. He's talking about the upspeak and
nasal fry.
He says, here's someone talking about this. He sent me a video and stuff. They think it's a lot of people think it's a technique for telling women to shut up. Not the thing I heard. It wasn't about that. It was about also, it wasn't just about women. It was about men and, you know, just vocal people who, in this case, the expert on there was a woman who was talking about how both of these things have an uptick right now. I mean, she seemed more annoyed with upspeak than anything, but that seemed to be her own personal issue, that one just annoyed her more.
A vocal fry, not nasal fry.
Yeah, vocal fry.
You know what? It's nasal too. Whatever. Yeah,
whatever. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. But nothing I listened to on that had anything. It wasn't gender specific, and B, it wasn't telling anyone to shut up. It was just talking about why we have these tendencies, why we say like a lot, why in the 80s we'd say other stuff.
Yeah.
How many ums and uhs are in things? Why do people use that more than other people? Why our brains work that way? That's really all that was. So
it's not gender specific. So.
Yeah, some people may be using it that way. I don't know, but we're not. I got some phone calls. Want to hear this one?
Sure.
This is one about reading something in a car. I'm going to play it for you now. Here it is.
Yo, this is Jamie calling for TMS. I got a quick story for you. You guys are talking about seeing people on the road doing strange things behind the wheel. Anecdotally, I heard... driving down the highway, and there's an 18-wheeler in front, and almost like a pattern, this thing would start veering over to the left-hand lane and then suddenly jerk back into his own lane, and it would happen incrementally over time. And you go up alongside the 18-wheeler, and you look down, and he actually has a book in his steering wheel as he's driving, and every time he has to turn the page, he veers into the other lane and then goes back, and his eyes did not leave the book, which is a bit frightening.
Oh, God.
Anyways, love the show, though.
Yeah, that's... Ugh, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. My thinking is, if you're like a long haul trucker, you probably have lots of things like that that we don't want to know about.
Yeah, but you know what? They make books on tape. You can pick them up right there in the truck stops when you're, you know, getting your Stuckey's peanut log or pecan log.
Yeah, that's
pecan
true.
Log.
Pecan log.
Pecan log.
Pecan log.
Pecan log. Or you pecan log.
Is it pecan, pecan? Who's saying it? Pecan. Which way? Which way?
Pecan.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to start talking with upspeak.
Is Unless it you're Billy Crystal and you say, please to partake in some pecan pie.
Well, he's come up a lot lately.
He has. It's Billy Crystal Day on TMS.
Yeah, it is.
Let's do it. For it.
You
got Toyota.
We got another call about movies and Kenny Loggins.
Oh, yeah.
So here you go.
Hey, Scott and Brian. This is Dan calling from South Florida. I just wanted to follow up on your movie pass discussion. It's actually still available. And like Brian was saying, it's $35 a month. I subscribed to it a few months ago and didn't think I would like it, but it's pretty awesome. Also, we were talking about Kenny Loggins earlier this week, and he's actually in Grand Theft Auto V as a DJ for Los Santos Rock Radio. So, yep, just wanted to drop it and say what's up. Love the show, though.
Are you kidding? Bye. I had no idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I've played that game. I didn't know he was in there.
Huh.
Kenny Loggins, man. Finding a job in a NC-17 video game.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or not NC-17.
Well, it's good to hear him talking about that MoviePass deal. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised. If you're, you know, like a teenager and you've got a part-time job, but other than that, your summer is pretty much free.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a brilliant deal, right?
Yeah. You know? Why wouldn't you?
Go see everything.
I would do it. Mm-hmm. That would totally be me. Thanks for your calls. Thanks for your emails. You can send those to us at 801-471-0462. Leave a message there. We'll play it on the show. That's 801-471-0462. Or you can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us. Tomorrow's Tuesday. That means Justin and Bill.
Yay!
Yeah, that'll be good. There is a small, possible, slim as it may be, chance that Wednesday I have a dental appointment in the morning that may screw with the show. I don't know yet, and I'll let you know tomorrow, but I'm just putting
it
out there.
You and your crazy dentist that will just call you on a whim and say, oh, hey, you want to come in for a cleaning tomorrow morning?
Come on in. Well, it's just, I got to make sure this, so it's a long story. But my
I know, it's not. It's not just a routine cleaning that they schedule months in advance.
My teeth stuff are so stupid, and I still haven't gotten that third crown yet, so I got to go make sure that I'm not going to have a problem before, it's a long story, but before Nerdtacular, we don't want to have a problem while I'm there.
God, no. Yeah.
So that's the thinking. Anyway, we'll let you guys know, and if not, it's a normal show. We'll just do what we do. That's it. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Follow us on Twitter, Coverville for Brian, me at Scott Johnson, and the show at Morning Stream. That's it. I think that's it. Let's do some music. You got music?
I do have music. George wrote in, said, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi.
I'm a giant idiot. I went to school for something I hate. I learned that I hate it during the course of studying, and I just finished getting my master's degree in accountancy. Unnecessarily fancy word for accounting a few weeks ago. I'm starting a new job in an unrelated field on July 20th. To celebrate my transition to a job that has nothing to do with my extensive education, I'd like to hear a cover from Primus. The entire album is such a cool, weird take on a soundtrack to a movie that I loved as a kid and still love to this day. I'll be off work and in the live tadpool the whole week of July 13th through the 17th, so if you could play my song anytime that week, it'd make this giant idiot feel a little better about his gigantic student debt. If you can't find this song, the Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch is a worthy stand-in.
The Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
You just keep your finger on that button in case.
Yep. Got
it. Love the show, though, George.
All right.
Yeah, George, this is a really cool album. So in, let me pull it up here. In 2014, just last year, Primus got together with the Fungi Ensemble and recorded a song-for-song cover of the soundtrack to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Not the new Danny Elfman business, but the older Gene Wilder business.
Oh, right.
And it's bizarre. Mm. It really is bizarre. I mean, hearing their takes on things like Cheer Up Charlie and I Want It Now, it's very different, but it's very Primus. This is a great example of a band like taking a cover and completely and totally making it their own. Good example. Let's listen to it, shall we?
Sure.
It is Primus and their cover of Golden Ticket from Primus and the Chocolate Factory with a Fungi Ensemble from 2014. Here it is.
All right. Quickly, I just say this to George. Props to George for being at a place in his life where he's not just taking that Abilene paradox. That he's actually said, you know what? Mm-hmm. I know that was a lot of work, time, money spent, but I'm not happy, and then turn in to do the thing that makes them happy.
Right.
That's a big deal, exactly. Dude. That is a big deal. Most people grunge themselves to death with the thing they hate. So I'm impressed with George's move.
And way to see it through all the way to a master's degree too. So I mean, you've got that as a backup, and if anything goes wrong, you can always fall back on juggling the decimals.
Plus, people see that no matter what, and they see that master's and go, "Oh, you have a master's in something." Yeah. Even if it's unrelated, they'll be stoked. Yeah, so
sure,
you're good,
sure.
Man. You're good. All right, here it is. It is Golden Ticket. We'll see you tomorrow.
Could be anything but catastrophe. Suddenly I begin to see a bit of good luck for me. I never had a chance to shine, never a happy song to sing, but suddenly half the world is mine. What an amazing thing.
Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.